Good morning. So, first of all, it's a humbling and honoring experience to stand before God's people this morning. I have a couple things I would hopefully you'd be in prayer for the service this morning. That we have gathered here together for the right reasons, and that we have managed to put the cares and the thoughts of the world out of our minds this morning, and we're able to leave those things out there and not bring them in here with us, because even though we're in the house of the Lord, we're still very susceptible to those things, aren't we? Yes. That those thoughts can, you know, it's when we look at how sometimes Satan comes after us, Satan doesn't come after us necessarily where we're strongest or sometimes where we think he's going to. But if you think Satan will attack you in church with thoughts to get your minds off what your mind should be on, I think that we're wrong. You know, I would. My prayer this morning is, you know, that God will grant us a clean heart this morning. And so I can see some puzzled looks this morning. You know, we didn't sing but for a few minutes. Well, kind of one of the things I'd been talking to Brother Gary about, especially when I found out Brother Don wasn't going to be here, is we talk about our traditions a lot of times, right? And the things that we do. And sometimes the differences between a tradition and a mandate, things that we're supposed to do and that we're told to do. Singing to 10:30 and then starting to talk is a tradition of our church. It's not something that I know of, and maybe somebody could prove me wrong with this, anything scriptural about an order of service. So if I made you, and I can look around, and some people are like, man, what are we doing? You know, I'm hoping I'm not disproving my point, but, you know, it's something the Lord would have us to look at this morning. When we get so caught up in our traditions that aren't scriptural or given to us that we're supposed to be doing, and then you've just sitting here this morning, how uncomfortable do you feel? Because we didn't sing till 10:30, so now you have no idea how long I'm going to talk to, and then what are we going to do when I get through talking, besides maybe go eat lunch? So if you're sitting there a little uncomfortable this morning, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I do ask you, because I'm a little uncomfortable now too, after I've got up here and I'm looking at the clock, you know? So this morning, I'm feeling kind of led in different directions this morning, other than these things, you know, looking at mandates. You know, Christ, and if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn with me, you can this morning, because believe it or not, I'm not going to tell you anything new this morning. I'm not going to share with you anything that you have not already heard or should have heard or know where it is in your Bible this morning, but it's something that I feel like we need to look at. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, in the 37th verse, when we look at we'll start on the 36th verse. When the Pharisees are trying and Sadducees are trying to tempt the Lord, they ask him, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And, you know, they're expecting him to go back and go through the, you know, some of the Ten Commandments or the other mandates that are in the Bible. And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So when we go back and look at them, thou shalt love the law of thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And then we think, yeah, that's pretty easy, right? You know, we don't have false idols laying around or anything else. I've talked about that before. And the second is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Sometimes that was not as easy, is it? But if we're really not doing the second one, are we doing the first one? You know, I think it's warm up here. Sorry. I tried to look like I belonged up here for a minute, but that's got to come off. We were messing with Brother Taylor this morning. We told him since he had on a sport coat, he had to come talk. at some time this morning. He started taking it off, so. But we let him off the hook. I have no doubt that he could, if we needed him to. That's just the kind of young man that he is. But when we go, and I'm going to leave that there for a second, and just we can think on that, and go over and, you know, I'm torn between tradition and thankfulness this morning, and God, I'm going to look at a couple different things in there. You know, we just got through with Thanksgiving, and, you know, we're coming up on Christmas, which, you know, Tracy and the girls always get aggravated with me a lot of times around Christmas, because, you know, it is tradition. You know, we put up Christmas trees, we put up Christmas lights, we do these things, and I'll ask them sometimes in jest, sometimes not in jest. You know, one of the girls asked me, "Daddy, can we do this?" "Yeah, babe, we can do that if you show me where scripturally that has anything to do with Christ or celebrating the birth of Christ." And I'm not preaching against Christmas. It's just one of those things that we also get caught up in as tradition sometimes. So don't think about that. Don't think that I'm trying to do that this morning. But you know, as we went through Thanksgiving, we look at what we have truly to be thankful for. And I think as children of God, which I think we are by evidence of us being here this morning, you think about what you have to be thankful for as a child of God, as a child of grace, someone that has been delivered not of anything that we're going to do or have done, but by the grace of God, strictly by the grace of God, by a sovereign God that we serve. And we think on those things, but then at the same time, we know these things and we still get away from them, don't we? You know, it's easy. I can understand how someone that is either not a child of God or not has not had the truth revealed unto them by God yet, because we can't reveal that to them. That has to come from the Lord. How they cannot be thankful, or how they can get away from where they should be in the world sometimes. But then I look and I see that we do that too. And I think it's worse for us when we do that. And we, you know, we feel it when we do that. And sometimes we have a harder time coming back to where we should be. But one of the things, the main things that I have, that we have to be thankful for is our church and our church body and our church family that we have here. And when we look at some of the problems in the early church, I like to go to Galatians a lot of times because, you know, they had a lot of issues in Paul when Paul went to them. In the first chapter, in verse 6, he tells them, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." You know, we have problems and we have issues as a church, but I'm so thankful. You know, that's not an issue that we have, is it? We don't have issues around anybody coming in here trying to teach us something that we don't believe or that we don't know to be true. But, you know, when we have other issues, sometimes we tend not to address them head on and not to look at them head on. And those things tend to fester sometimes and blow up on us. And, you know, that's something that affects me personally, because I've seen that happen in other churches. And Tracy can tell you it's a bad spot to be in. You know, the church that we came out of, I guess it's probably been 15 years ago since it split. I can't remember. Emma. 10. Yeah. And what was crazy with what happened to us there was not a spiritual divide in the church. There was not a doctrinal divide in the church. There was nothing that anybody could take in a scripture that affected anything that in that church. But what got us in that church, and, you know, I felt really bad because I was a very young deacon in that church. And I probably should not have been a deacon. I think I was more made a deacon in that church out of that word tradition again, because my father had been a deacon. My grandfather had been a deacon. His dad had been a deacon. My great uncles were preachers in that church. So when it came time that some of our other deacons got to a certain age, they started looking around, oh, yeah, Brother Stephen. And I'm like, whoa. You know, I understand this is tradition, but I didn't speak out and say, hey, you know, I think I need a few more years. I just accepted their decision, probably knowing that I wasn't ready for that because it was a tradition. But I will tell you what that tradition, I think, led us to, because there was myself, my little brother, and my cousin, that it was tradition, because this was a family church, right? More so than this is here. If we had, at the time, 70 or 80 people in the church on a Sunday morning, 95% of us were as close as first cousins, probably, or second cousins at the most, and a few other people that came in. And what happened to us, and one of the reasons I've always felt really responsible, is I do not think I was strong enough to take a stand in that church and put a stop to some of the things that happened. But the division that got us was not anything in here, but it was misconception and misunderstanding and words taken out of context and things that were just misunderstood. And that's a horrible place to be at, and a horrible spot to be in when, as a young deacon, I had no idea how to handle it, which means I should not have been a deacon to begin with. But I am a little older now, and I think I understand these things a little bit better. Maybe not. I'm still probably not worthy. I know I'm not worthy to be standing here speaking to you this morning. And I try to do my best to be worthy to serve you as a deacon, and I'm not very good at that. But I have a little bit better understanding, and I think I see a little bit better. But those are the things that we have to guard against as a church body, because, you know, when I talk about Satan going after you where you're weak and where you're vulnerable, as humans, you know, we have certain things. We have pride. You know, pride is a huge destroyer of people and of, I think, of churches. Because when somebody gets their pride hurt, what do? You lash out, right? And I'm very guilty of this in my life, in different times in my life. And like I say, it's, you know, the saying, I'm not the man I want to be, but I'm a lot better man than I think I used to be. But my pride has led me down some bad roads before. My pride has cost me a job. My pride has put my family in a bind. Financially, spiritually, and really that pride is what finding another job actually led us to be out here, which I think was a good thing, and I'm glad to be here. So maybe that was part of God's plan for us to be here and to put us through those trials and the sufferings that we went through. But when that pride worms its way in and you don't address it, and you don't pray about it, and, you know, we don't go to the Lord in prayer and look at these things, bad things happen. And you can't let that happen inside your church. And I'm not trying to talk to anybody in particular. I'm just saying, because I see and I feel, you know, I see undercurrents and I feel, and you have to, if you you don't address the elephant in the room, right? It's just going to sit there and it's going to grow. So when we have these thoughts and we have these feelings and we feel like we've been attacked or our pride has been attacked, you know, what should we do before we act? We should pray, right? You go to the Lord in prayer when you have these things, and you ask Him for guidance and for help before you do anything. And I think that would, we would all be better off if we did that. And I'm looking in that mirror down there, and I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to anybody sitting here in particular. And I didn't mean to necessarily get off on that. And like I said, I look at Galatians, and down in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, I went through just looking for examples of these things happening, and I guess starting 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one of another. And when you look at that, and you know, it's telling you to be careful, because those little bites, right? You know, a lot of times it's not one thing that gets somebody; it's little things. And, you know, you may hit somebody on a bad day or hit somebody finally at their breaking point. But be careful of if you bite and devour one another. Because, you know, we're in here this morning, we're pretty protected from the world. But, you know, and we have one another here. And this is our family. This is our church family. And all families have issues, right? I would like to tell you that my home life is perfect and that we have no problems in our home, but that would be a lie. I know that's hard to believe, but it's the truth. And our church is a family, and our family does have problems sometimes, but it's the way that we handle our problems that separate us from a worldly family, right? That's what separates us from the world. Or what it should separate us from the world. Now, because we are human flesh, and you know, we use the word depraved, and it doesn't mean that we're horrible people, but we are humans, and we have these weaknesses. And when we go outside of, you know, I've talked about this being our playbook and our tool for the way we should live our life. And if you read in here, it will tell you how to handle a problem. If you've got a problem with a brother and a sister in the church, it'll tell you how to handle it. If you've got issues with yourself, because when we look at these things, most of the time when we get mad at something somebody says, how many times if we really think about it, we're not really mad at them. We're really mad at ourselves. Or we're mad about some other influence in our life. You know, Tracy will... She'll get on to me, and I'm sorry, baby. I'm not trying to pick on you this morning. She'll tell me something, and she'll say, "You're only mad because you know I'm right." How many times has that happened to us? And how many times when we look back on it, is that the truth? Because Tracy's right a lot more than I like to give her credit for, because she's a lot smarter than I am. And it does. That's true. And she really is smarter than I am. I just act like it sometimes. I act like I'm smarter. And we keep looking through Galatians, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to cherry pick scripture this morning, but I am going to leave us some more time to sing a little bit after I get through with this, which is, like I say, going against our traditions a little bit. Let's see, where was I going? We read verse 15, but in verse 16, then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And, you know, how true is that? You know, I talked one time about a billboard I'd saw, you can't walk with the Lord while you're holding hands with the devil. You know, you think about that. Think about that picture. We try, you know, in our walk, what we say we're doing, but what are we, you know, what are we thinking? What are we really doing outside of here? How are we really living our lives? But if we're walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you know, it goes down to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we think about being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. How important is that to us as a people and as a church? Filling that. Filling the fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. Because I can promise you, I know some of y'all had to be long-suffering with me before. Because I know there's many times, many people in my life that have had to be long-suffering with me. You know, my wife's a teacher and Sister Kim's a teacher. You know, think about the children you've had to be long-suffering with in your careers, and then look how they turned out. Some of them turned out pretty good, I'm sure, a lot better than what you thought they would, and some of them probably maybe not. But I think about the people that have had patience and faith in me in my life growing up. I think about my life as a young Army officer and the NCOs that had, you know, twice as many years of service as I did that were patient with me and that taught me. I think about the men in my church where I grew up that had patience with me and saw something in me and taught me to maybe be the person that I am. Like I said, it's still not where I want to be and still not where I should be, but I think maybe a little bit better than I was when I look back at myself 20 or 30 years ago. You know, I've still got a long way to go. Maybe I don't know if I'll ever get where I want to go or get where I want to be, but think about having the fruit of the Spirit in your life and how we use that fruit and how we show that fruit. You know, I don't show that I have gentleness and goodness by lashing out at somebody when I get aggravated, do I? But how often do I do it? You know, that's one of those things. What we take away from here back into the world matters. How we act in the world away from here, what people can see, matters. Because people see that you have the fruit of the Spirit in you. They may not even know what it is, but they see that you've got something in you. And they want to know, where are you getting that from? Why are you acting like that? Either way. And you can point to them, and if they see that in you, then that maybe they want a little more of it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. That's a hard one to do too, isn't it? We may think and we may claim we're living in the Spirit of the Lord, but we don't always walk that walk. I know I don't. That's a hard thing for us to do. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's another hard one for me. You know, we all like to get a little credit for what we do, don't we? I know, Taylor, you did some robotics work in your school. If your classmates, if you weren't there that day and you had done something really good, and they took the credit for it because you weren't there, it's a little aggravating, isn't it? Same way with the girls. I know, you know, we, especially, I don't know, maybe the younger you are, the worse it is. But if, you know, we want credit sometimes for the things that we do, whether we deserve the credit or not. Or if we think, especially, and this is another thing, I've seen this one, and this is one of the things that happened to us in that church too, that desirous of the glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Envy is one of those little things that once it worms its way into a body of people, it just grows. And then all of a sudden there's, you know, issues and you have no idea how they started. You have no idea where it came from. You have no idea where it's going, but you know it ain't going to be good when it gets there. But you wonder how those little things like that, because they start so small, how those things even work in there. And we look down in chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In the spirit of meekness, when we go to one another, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, I think that goes back to, you know, loving your neighbor. Bear ye one another's burdens. And a lot of times that's when these things do creep in, it's because somebody is having a hard time with other things. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to be there for one another as a people and as a church body and a church family. And, you know, this is one of the things I'm horrible about. I feel, you know, I've been sitting here for 3 days. Got to call Brother James. I need to check on Brother James. How many times have I called on Brother James? Nada. I've been thinking about him, but have I called to check on him? No, I haven't. That's a horrible thing. I'm not going to lie about it and tell you that I did. But that's not bearing one another's burdens. And I know there's literally nothing medically I can do to help him, but I know he appreciates a phone call. And he appreciates people calling and talking to him when if he feels like talking right now. That's lifting one another's burdens. Making that phone call, checking on one another. Maybe not necessarily sending one of the things I text a lot at work, all right? And I email a lot. Emailing is better than texting because I can get more thoughts when I'm sitting at my keyboard typing. But how much easier is it for a text or something like that to be misunderstood than actual phone call, all right, or speaking to somebody, because I can convey my thoughts and my emotions and how I'm really feeling in my voice, but in 130 characters or less, sometimes it's a little hard because I'm not that great of a speller, not that great of a putting punctuation marks in. You can ask Tracy, she gets aggravated. She'll, no, you got to put a comma here. And how often do things like that affect what you're trying to say? You know, you put a comma in the wrong place or put a period in the wrong place, it can change the whole structure of what you're trying to say, you know? But bear ye one another's burdens, I think that's one of those things. We may not, you know, if you need new plumbing put in your house, that's a burden I probably can't really help you with. I can't do that for you. You know, I can talk to you about it. We can pray about it. And if there's any other way I can help you, I'll help you. But I think our lifting one another up with our spiritual burdens, bearing each other's spiritual burdens, I think is something that each of us can do. And then I had down in 6 verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. I'm going to read that again because I think it's important. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but who? Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, who is that talking about? That's talking about us. That's talking about this body of people that's here this morning, that's put aside the cares and the worries of this world and have gathered, you know, have not forsaken the gathering of themselves together this morning, who is sitting here this morning. That's who that's talking about. And, you know, and I've said this probably way too many times, you're probably tired of hearing it, but, you know, we're all each other's got when it comes to a spiritual family. We've all got blood family and physical family outside of these walls in other towns and other cities. We've all got that. But that's not our spiritual family. And we love our worldly family, and sometimes, you know, we get aggravated with them. But our spiritual family is so much more. Our godly family here on this earth is so much more. And, you know, that's who we're tasked to do good unto. And how many times, I know I've said this too, you know, we say and do things to our family that we would never do to a stranger we met out on the street, would we? You know, and Tracy has admonished me about that before. You know, we'll attack one another and say things to one another and be hurtful to one another with things that if a guy ran into our car out here, we wouldn't do. But we will do it to our family. And I can't tell you that I understand that or understand why we do that, but we do. And that's what's so hurtful sometimes when we have issues and divisions. And that's why it's so scary to me when you see any kind of inkling of that popping up. Because going back to the church that I grew up in, at when I was even, in my late 30s, Tracy? Somewhere in there. You know, we averaged on Sunday, and I'm not saying this to say it's about numbers of people, but our strong little church, we had 60 or 70 every Sunday.
Aren't you 35 now?
Yeah, basically. And this morning, they're still spiritually strong, but it's probably seven of them sitting in there this morning. My brother and his wife, my mom, my brother's two kids, the guy, my cousin that's preaching, his wife and their two kids, and maybe one or two more. And like I said, I'm not trying to say they're not a strong church now, but the split that happened in that church was just, it was so crazy, and it happened so fast. And once it got going, there was no way to stop it. And I'm not trying to scare anybody or say we're at that point, but when you see little things happening, that scares me, and it takes me back to that. And I don't think I could live through another experience like that, because that was horrible. You know, we talk about, you know, Civil War. You know, that was pretty bad. And then I'm just going through reading some other scriptures I had picked out this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and giveth himself for us as offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love as Christ has loved us. Love one another as Christ has loved us. You know, we're to love our church as Christ loved us. Men are to love their wives as Christ loved his church. You know, there's so many of these out here. So many when I was going through that I want to hit this morning. Over in Thessalonians, some in Thessalonians that I was reading in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In chapter 5 of 1st Thessalonians. And like I said, I'm not just trying to go through and pick out things that fit what I'm trying to say this morning, but I went through and I found scriptures that just kind of felt right for what I had on my mind this morning. In chapter 5 and verse 14, and now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. You see, it makes another distinction right there, doesn't it? Between among yourselves and to all men. It's another separation of who's here together in this church and who's out there, and, you know, in all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. And it's amazing to me when you get to reading in some of these how many times it does make distinctions about your church family. What I see, you know, is your church family and what's outside in the world. And, you know, and I talked about, you know, how we have to pray sometimes before we do anything. And I'm trying to get back to where I wanted to go back over in Matthew. You know, before we act, before we say anything, you know, and we talk to the girls a lot about social media. Before you put something out there, because you can never take it back, right? It's never going to disappear. You can never take a word back. How much better off would we be if we prayed before we acted? Because every action starts with a what? It starts with a thought. So you may not can, you know, our neurosensors and our brains work really quick, right? We can't necessarily stop a thought from coming into our mind. But do we have the power to stop it from that thought coming out of our mouth? You know, we mess with Emma a lot, telling her to think before she says something. Sometimes she's too quick. Her mind works too quick for us. But we have control over that thought from here to here, or that thought from here to our hands, to our actions of what we do. And if we would, you know, I've talked about prayer before, but over in Matthew 6, chapter 6, and it's telling you how to pray, you know. But if you go through, I'm not going to read all that for you. But in verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He knows what we need before we ask him, but we need to go to, and we need to go in and pray about these things before we do them. So all that being said this morning, you know, I think about how thankful we are as a church, and how thankful for this church body that we have here this morning. How thankful that any issues that we have are not scriptural. We don't have competing preachers come, you know, we have different preachers come in. We don't have one preacher preaching one thing one week and another preacher preaching something else the next week. They're all preaching the doctrine of grace that we need to hear. We're hearing the truth when they're here, and hopefully when they're not here. You know, and if I've said something out of line this morning or that has offended anybody, I mean, I would hope that you come to me this morning and we can talk about it, just like we should with anything else. But the thankfulness that I have for this church is something that many of you may not be able to understand, because you are my family in Texas. I don't have any other family in Texas other than me and Tracy and the girls. You're my family. And I'll pick on Sister Deborah for a minute. I don't know if you remember this or not, but one time I came from Kermit one day, and we had a eating out there, and I brought in all this barbecue. And I don't know if you remember this, but you said, Stephen, you know, you could have took that home and fed your family. And I looked at you and said, I am feeding my family. This is my family. The people that ate with me that night are my family. This family is who I love. This family is who I get concerned about. Think about these things, and think about how this is your family, and how we need one another as a family. And think about the things that we have as a family to be thankful for. The love that we have one for another. The spiritual feelings that we have one for another. The support that we have one for another. And then think about the little things that try to affect us and how unimportant those little things are. Think about how unimportant little things like tradition that is not rooted in any spiritual concept but in human thought. How trivial that is compared to the thankfulness we have for what the Lord has done for us. How trivial are the little issues that we have that pop up that are compared to when the Lord hung there on that cross for us and said, it is finished. But think about how those little things, if we don't take care of them, can affect us. They shouldn't, but they do, because we're human. But think about how little those problems really are when compared to how thankful we should be for what we have here as a group and as a family. And like I said, I hope I haven't confused anybody this morning or said anything out of line this morning, but that's kind of what was on my heart and mind this morning. And know that anything said this morning is said with love and hopefully said in the right spirit in accordance with what the Lord would have me to do this morning. So I'll turn it back over to Gary. We can sing for a little while, then we can go eat.
No, I got a word too. We don't have to do this traditionally, do we?
No.
I am so thankful for what Brother Stephen has brought before us. And I've been thinking the last few days, you know, and you've kind of given me a wake-up call. And I don't know if I can put this all exactly right into words, but sometimes the Lord wakes us up. Has that ever happened to you? Did something happen to you? Or yeah, and it wakes you up and you feel like the Lord might be talking to you, telling you something. And it makes you realize that, oh my gosh, you know, I was thinking about doing this. And I think I don't need to go that way. I didn't need to go this way because this could have been a tragedy. Been a wake-up call. You said you was looking at the guy in the mirror. I can't see him. I can see myself. But it's been a wake-up call for me. And we do sometimes get mired down in the traditions of the things that we do. And it doesn't matter that we started our preaching service or the whatever at a quarter to 11. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter if we come and start singing at 9 o'clock in the morning. If that's what the church wants to do, if we want to come together and worship the Lord in spirit and truth, we ought to do that. And we do it as a family, like he said, because that's what we are. We're a church family. Real quick, and then we'll have prayer requests, and then we may sing some more songs. But we're here to worship the Lord today. In James, as I told you about, the boys had their Bibles, and we was driving over, and we was talking about scriptures, and Chris asked me, so what's your favorite scripture, Brother Gary? And I quoted it to him. I don't know if I got it exactly right, but I was, while Stephen was talking, I turned over, looked at my favorite scripture, and I said, then I looked back up, and it's first chapter of James. Everybody go there real quick. My favorite scripture is the last one, but I want to start in the 19th real quick. And this is what I'm getting out of this. And this goes right along with what Brother Stephen's been talking to us about. 19th verse, wherefore, my beloved brethren. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the children of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So what Brother Steve was telling us, don't pop off. Don't let that thought that hit you come out of your mouth. Let's think about this. Be sure we say the right thing. 21st verse, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted words which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing the word of God. What is the word of God? To love one another, as Brother Stephen brought out. To come together and worship his name. To let little things go by the wayside. To be a family, because we are a family. Go to the 27th verse, and then we're going to have prayer requests. And Chris, you asked me what my favorite verse was. This is it. 27th verse of James, first chapter of James. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Y'all have heard me say this before, but what is he telling us? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now, is he going to tell us that you come sing on Wednesday night and you go to church on Sunday morning and you start at 10:30, you preach at 11? Is that what he's getting ready to tell us? No, he's not getting ready to tell us that. Has nothing to do with the structure or the schedule of this world or what man has decided he should do. pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. How many of us do that? Like he mentioned, he didn't call Brother James. I thought about it too, and I finally called him yesterday. So I was just I'm one step ahead of you, Brother Stephen. And I shared with you a while ago how Brother James is doing pretty well too. But the biggest thing that I get out of this verse, the last phrase, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. If you want a pure religion, undefiled before the Lord, you keep yourself unspotted from the world. How do you do that? You stay away from the world. Now, we're not talking about the ground, the earth. We're talking about the fleshly world that's out there. If you want to be unspotted from the world, you know, maybe let's don't go to that beer joint and hear that band and let's do our country two-step and drink a little bit. And maybe it's not going to hurt. Two or three beers ain't going to hurt me. But you're going to put yourself you could put yourself in a bad situation. Bad things could happen. It'll splash up on you. I've used this illustration before. If you don't want to get mud splashed up on you when it rained like we had this week, and you don't want to get mud on you, don't go stand on the corner where all the cars are going by and coming through the puddles, because you're going to get spotted. Did you do anything wrong? No, you were just standing right there with it. But it got splashed up on you. Don't get out there and participate in the things that the world's doing, because it's going to splash on you, it's going to spot you, and it's going to cause you trouble. Keep himself unspotted from the world. And if we all could do that, if we all could do these things, we're all going to come together in the right frame of mind, in the right manner, and we're going to love each other. And I'm thankful that we do. I'm thankful for everybody that's here this morning, for the love that I know you feel for each other. And just like Brother Stephen said, families bicker. We're a family. We love each other. Things are going to happen. But at the end of the day, we still all love each other, don't we? Isn't that true? And we're here for each other. And we'll hold each other, embrace each other. And if one of us falters, if one of us does something wrong, we're all going to pick him up. You know, you got to be willing to be picked up, though. You got to be willing to let your brethren help you. Sometimes I have trouble with that, but be willing to let you. Your brother comes to you, wants to talk to you, listen. Listen. Be kind. Be loving. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. I think it's been a very good morning, and we're not through yet. Thank you, Brother Stephen, for doing that. There's nothing wrong with us changing things around. If anybody has an objection to it, well, let's talk about it, you know. But it's okay to come to the house. As long as we come to the house together, sing his name, sing and praise his name, worship his holy name, preach the truth, there's not a thing wrong with that. And if we don't stop till 3 o'clock this afternoon, there's nothing wrong with that, right? No, okay. I'm just kidding.